Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love.
And good evening and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years. And speaking of prayerful support, I want to ask for your prayers this weekend. I've got a wedding, a destination wedding in Maine. I don't know how somebody could plan a destination wedding in Maine in the month of December, but we are. So I'll be driving up to Maine on Friday, and I ask you to pray for safe travels, but also for my niece, Madison, and her husband to be, that are going to get married on Saturday, and that you know, everything goes well and everybody gets back to Pennsylvania or wherever they're headed back to on Sunday without any incidents. I'm going to be joined today in the 5 o'clock hour by Terry Love. Terry is a professional counselor and graduate of Divine Mercy University. She works at Integrity Counseling Services, a Catholic practice in King of Prussia, locally here, and I'm blessed to have Terry in the studio with me because she is local. Her specialties include anxiety, depression, life transitions, parenting, adoption, grief, and trauma. Terry's been married for 27 years and has 4 adult children. She and her husband and 2 of their kids moved from Nevada to Pennsylvania just over a year ago. Welcome, Terry. It's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's rare. Maybe 4 or 5 times a year we actually have a guest that comes into the studio. Most of the interviews are done over the phone, so it's a real blessing for me to have you here.
Wow, cool.
And I think the work that you do, I don't know if you've heard much in the 4 o'clock hour. I've been talking when I don't have a guest about the 12-step program, mm-hmm. having gone through it myself as a result of my own addiction. And then when you read the list of things that you deal with, anxiety, depression, and that type of thing, I would imagine more than a few of them struggle with some sort of addiction and,
oh, yes.
And come to you on top of that. And one of the beauties, I think, of the work that you do that maybe other counselors don't is the Catholic perspective.
Right.
You know? So how did you end up in the field? And
I was in it was a recent thing. I've been licensed for about 5 years now. So just sort of over the years, encouragement from people about listening skills. And I remember in our first class at Divine Mercy, the professor said, a lot of you have probably noticed that people just seem to open up to you. That's a characteristic that some of the students shared. Mm-hmm. That was true for me.
Okay.
And it was something I remember watching the Bob Newhart show when
very
long.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that
yeah.
dates me. But mm-hmm. And I had it in the back of my mind as something that I thought would be a very interesting job. A lot of different factors came together that converged and me pursuing the master's and going from there.
Yeah, and being able to combine, you know, just not just counseling, but be able to do that with your faith.
Yes.
It has to make all the difference because, you know, the 12-step program, they talk about, a higher power. For a lot of the folks I hang around with, that eventually becomes Jesus Christ, especially those of us that came up in a Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. But trying to overcome these things that you're trying to help people with without God, I don't know how you do that.
I really don't either.
Yeah.
It's a little empty.
And I'm sure you're busy these days.
We are. I'm impressed with this practice. Like you said, I'm new to the area, and I came from Las Vegas. Mm. And as a Catholic and a counselor, I didn't bill myself as a Catholic practice, but I certainly had the contacts within the diocese to let, you know, priests and our bishop know that I was there. I still had trouble filling my schedule. And here we have a practice with 7 therapists, and we have pretty full schedules and growing always.
Yeah. So. Well, and I don't know that that's a good, I was going to say that's a good thing. It's a good thing that for earning a living, but it's not a good thing because of the number of people that are struggling today.
Sure. And, but also that are seeking help and finding
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think about the issues that my parents' generation and grandparents' generations had, and how they more or less white knuckled it and
right.
you know, figured it. I think a lot of them thought they were the only ones that had the struggles that they had mm-hmm. and what have you. I think that the advent of the 12-step program went a long way for those that they finally got so into it that they had an addiction they could put their finger on.
Mm-hmm.
But I often have felt that, you know, I wish everybody had some addiction that would force them to go through, you know, either the 12-step process or to seek the help that they need.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, having come to this area, I should probably mention you work with, I think Peter was the founder, right?
Yes.
Peter Kloponis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got in touch with you. I reached mm-hmm. out to Peter. Kathleen had been after me to get him or one of the folks out there.
Okay.
To come in and talk about the work that you're doing. I didn't realize that there were seven people there. I looked at the website. I didn't go through it in detail, but I didn't realize that there were actually seven counselors there that
yes.
were.
Yeah, well, including one spiritual director. We have someone who earned a certificate in spiritual direction, also from Divine Mercy. So
okay.
it's six clinicians and one spiritual director.
And do you find that in 2025 that there's a common thread with some people that are coming to you, or is it just all over the place.
I think that I've heard and experienced this too, that the numbers are pretty high toward anxiety. That's pretty common. Dr. Kloponis is an expert in pornography addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a fair amount of people dealing with that and with other sexual addictions. So now I'm seeing a lot of clients with, on the flip side of that, the betrayal trauma. So I'm suddenly becoming an expert in betrayal trauma. So, yeah, that's a big part of our practice.
So with betrayal trauma, these are people that have partners or spouses that got caught up with pornography or had extramarital affair type things?
Correct, yep. Other sexual-related addictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of times, so being on the opposite side of that, and being the inflictee or the inflictor,
mm-hmm. either
or. Yeah. And oftentimes we don't talk about the people that are affected.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
and it's interesting that they're coming out now
mm-hmm.
and seeking help.
Again, right. Being willing to recognizing that there is help available and that they're not alone. That's huge.
Yeah, no. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing. For me was even in spiritual warfare, right? The mm-hmm. the devil wants us to think that we're the only ones that are going through the struggles that
mm-hmm.
we have, and just knowing that we're not the only one,
mm-hmm.
I think brings relief, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you work on the experience of other people and helping them get through it to help the others that come behind them.
Yes. Yep.
And successful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good recovery and healing. Absolutely.
Yeah. And even in the intro of the show, it talks about how our world is in need of so much healing today
mm-hmm.
with the divisiveness that goes on among families. I had a message from a friend of mine this morning, 11 months sober, and he caused a massive family dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a year ago, and sometimes we don't understand why once we stop doing whatever it was that we did to cause that problem, why everybody doesn't come up and hug us and welcome us back, and
maybe they're still hurting.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and to your point, if they don't deal with their own hurt, that it can go on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good summary. Yep.
And so is your experience that you normally do see a recovery with or reconciliation between folks?
Yes. My experience, I mean, I've only been with Integrity since the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a brand new, not brand new area for me, but the amount of clients that we have dealing with this, that's new. And I have already in these, do the math for me, 6 months, 5 months. Yeah. Have seen really cool turnaround, have seen a lot of hope, a lot of, you know, they're moving toward healing. They might not be there quite yet, but yes.
Yeah.
That's very hopeful.
And, because like I said, I think there's so many people that are hurting these days and, you know, families divided over politics, over religion.
Yeah.
It amazes me that some people can let it drive them that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, our God is good. And, you know, to have a practice like yours and a large group like yours that's out there and willing to help people. If somebody out there is struggling today, what's the best way for them to learn about you, get in touch with you?
Well, definitely can look online. We have, you know, that online presence, a good website with good explanation of what we do and bios of the various therapists.
And that website is integritycounselingpa.com.
Yes.
integritycounselingpa.com for those of you that are listening. Another reason to subscribe to my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. When I put the highlights up of the show tomorrow, I'll include links to the website and what have you. But for those that may not be internet savvy, is there a phone number that folks can use?
It's probably at the bottom in the contact. I'm embarrassed to say.
No, that's all right.
Memorized.
That's all right.
I have it in my contact. Yeah, there it is. Yep.
610-601-9781. That's 610-601-9781. And even if, you know, I don't think this is necessarily the kind of show where we want people to call in and air their issues over the phone. But if you have more generic questions about counseling in general or Catholic counseling, or maybe there's a specific issue that you're wondering if there's help available for, by all means, you can call in today. And those numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Again, I don't think we want you to call in with... and air your specific issues and look for counseling over the air. But if there's a particular question, a general question that you have, we'd probably be more than happy to answer that.
Sure.
for our callers.
And something about calling our practice as well, something that Dr. Kloponis prides himself on, as do we, is that we have live people answering the phone.
We have
admin in office to help, you know, initially when you first call, you're going to talk to a person.
So. Yeah. Which is, you know, when you're reaching out, especially if you're struggling with the things that you help people with, anxiety and depression, the last thing you want to get right is a recording and then hoping that somebody's going to get back to you.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, it would go a long way. Typically the people that come to see you, is there a typical amount of time that it would take somebody to work through issues they have, or?
That's really dependent on what they're dealing with, how long they've been dealing with it, how severe it is, sort of the pervasiveness, like you said, how much has it affected their family and their functioning, you know, whether they're showing up for work, showing up for their families. So it could be anywhere. Some people come very short term. They just need 3 or 4 sessions to kind of get an idea of direction.
Mm-hmm.
Others need to really work through things. And then there are the people that they want a therapist on retainer. I know it's not the right terminology, but
yeah,
I tell them, keep me in your back pocket, like, you know,
sure,
as needed. Come when you need,
yep,
you know, to work something through. So it really varies.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 3 sessions to 3 years of sessions. I think it's usually somewhere in between those two.
Yeah. No, and like you said, depending on what your working through, because I see the same thing with people like in the 12-step room. Some that really went really far down the ladder, and others that, you know, somehow or other managed to cut it off before they got too far down the path.
Mm-hmm.
So you got certified through Divine Mercy. Have you always your practice has always involved integrating the Catholic faith with your counseling?
Yes.
For the most part?
For the most part. When I started my private practice in Las Vegas, like I said, I'm devout Catholic, and my, you know, the clients that looked for a Catholic counselor were going to find me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't bill myself as a Catholic practice. Looking back, I don't even really know why I chose to go that direction, because it was a little sad to, you know, not have a crucifix on the wall and not. But I was able to work with people, and I could pray for them, you mm-hmm. know, whether they were a part of that or not. Then when I moved here, being in a Catholic practice, and in between, I've been a part of various other part-time jobs, doing, you know, using my skills. I worked with addiction intake, people going into inpatient. I really enjoyed that, actually. Worked for a Medicare, Medicaid clinic. So I've seen the world of more severe mental illness and secular, and it's difficult. I found it very difficult and unappealing, to be honest.
And I think that's why the 12-step program, for the most part, can help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like I said, I can't imagine how you can counsel somebody and not have a dependence on a higher power or God or Jesus Christ in order to get you through. Because sometimes I think that is the only thing that gets us through.
Right. And then as you're healing, to talk about redemption and to talk about, you know, where do I go? Well, you're on the road to reconciliation and forgiveness, and all those concepts they're present in the secular world, but not in any depth, you know. It's huge to be able to integrate the faith in the practice of mental health counseling.
Yeah, I think when we were even kids in school and you scrape a knee or something like that, and none would say offer it up, you know, and in the secular world that I'm sure that doesn't come up. But so is there much conversation? Because obviously the people that are coming to you are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So is that made use of, like, don't waste the suffering? Like, we'll tell people, don't waste the suffering.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I think there's an awareness of that, and it comes up, I probably not in the first session.
Offer
it up.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of depends on their posture and what they're dealing with and what their concept of it. I've had clients since I've been here who come in and have never prayed, they're Catholic. They've never prayed a rosary. They've never gone to adoration. So it's a gift to be able to suggest that as a part of treatment, as a part of healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, have you spent any time in adoration? Can you try that out? Try out that quiet and that closeness to Jesus and come back and tell me how it goes.
Yeah, right.
So it's wonderful.
And do you see a difference in people that take you up on that versus those that don't?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, so much. It's not every person. There's plenty of people who are more, you know, advanced in their faith, and they're already employing those practices. But the ones that were open that I could recommend it to and then that took me up on it, yeah, they come back. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but they're shining.
Yeah,
like they're,
no,
it's wonderful.
No, I know what you mean, because we, you know, I see it with the people that we work with in our ministry in South Philly around addiction, and when the light bulb goes on and they realize that they do have a relationship with God, they do, their posture, that glow,
mm-hmm.
you know, comes around, and it must be pretty cool for you. You probably get to see that a lot, don't you?
I do, and I will tell you, I went on my first Eucharistic procession coming from Vegas. That's not a thing there.
Yeah.
In Kensington recently, and there were, I think, the Sisters of Charity. I might be incorrect there, but accompanying us, and my husband and I just observed them, and they would minister as we walked along, and they would point the people that they touched and, you know, reached out to Jesus as he, you know, processed by or was processed by. Yeah. And that made it very real too. That's like an example of what you're saying. And in the counseling office, here we are essentially doing the same thing. Like, hey, he's available.
Yeah. And there has to be, I think, some humility in that, because as a devout Catholic, and you realize that, I guess, you know, counselors, especially when you're helping a lot of people, it can become an ego thing. But when you realize that you're the instrument or the tool that God's using in order to help these folks, to have that awareness and that attitude, I think it would be a great help to people, because it's not an ego or a selfish thing, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, hopefully. That's my number one prayer that I'll resort to, is humility. Lord, please help. Because I can be bossy and I can be control-y. Not a word, but I'll use it anyway. And so to sort of sit back during a session and chill out a little and listen more and not... In fact, when I notice a piece of advice coming to mind, I really try to... I've gotten better at that in these short 5 years, like, shut up, Terry, just hold on, wait, see, you know.
Before you jump on, you know, jump on a particular idea. But I think some of us, we need bossy and controlly, you know, especially those of us that really went wayward. We can, it helps to have a little bit of that stern.
It's something stern I guidance. Say often, we're really not supposed to be advice givers. That's not the role of a therapist. And it's funny that because I lead with that, people will often say, not often, but occasionally say, can you give me some advice in this area? And so I'll just kind of smile, like, why are you looking for advice? What are you hoping I'll say? Like, turn it back on, you know, why are you looking for bossy and controlly?
Yeah. So then it sounds like the goal is for the folks that you're trying to help to come up with the solutions or the answers.
Yeah, that's probably in the top five lessons that we learned really early on in the program was people know, like they know, the answers are within. That sounds a little, you know, more new agey than I want it to, but
yeah.
People know themselves better than I ever will, and especially if they're connected to God, they have this tremendous resource, so if they'll just be open to that.
Yeah.
So many answers.
Yeah, I think I even said it in the 4 o'clock hour when we're doing our fifth step and we're talking to somebody about the things that we've done in life. So by talking to somebody, I think we immediately like have the impact of it. And the same thing goes when we're going through issues. So many times I've talked to somebody about something that was going on in my life, and they may not have gone through the exact same thing, but they'll relate their own experience, and they don't give me the solution. All of a sudden, it comes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
But we need to verbalize it, right? So that's I think that's part of prayer. God already knows what we're going to pray and what we're going to say and how we're going to say it, but He still wants us to do it, because somehow or other, that's when the magic happens. And we find that solution. But it's interesting because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe there's a few things in my life I could go see a counselor for and they're going to give me the answers. And it's not how it works, right?
Yeah, I'm not a sage. I can't do it, right?
No?
No, not a prophet.
All this experience and you don't have all the answers?
Darn it. I do think that's actually part of the problem with some counselors is they probably get in it for the same reasons that I was talking about. Some of my weaknesses, like I'll tell people what to do. I could do it.
Yeah.
And that came up in our program. Like, what if that goes wrong?
Right.
Then you want that on your head? Like, hey, pick this, you know, choice. Yeah.
And especially now that you mention that, because the delicate issues that you deal with and, like, we talk about addiction and it's life and death, and it's the same thing when you've got somebody that's really struggling with depression or anxiety, that, you know, unfortunately suicide for a lot of people is a viable option these days. And so, you don't want to be the person that pushes them
right
in that
right.
direction.
Yeah.
And you get, so, I mean, suicide today is at such a high rate, whether it's traditional forms of suicide or now with the horrible drugs that are on the street these days and what mm-hmm. have you. But a lot of that comes your way. People that no more desire to live. And
certainly, and we have to take seriously assessing for it, being willing to ask and being willing to keep eye contact during that question. I once had a physician turn his back to me on his laptop and ask me if I was experiencing any suicidal thoughts. I'm like, you gotta look me in the eye.
Yeah.
So yeah, being willing to ask that really difficult question, you know.
Yeah.
Self-harm is a big thing too, that, you know, I'm learning to not just assume. I mean, I've learned not to assume that people, they wouldn't struggle with that. Like, right. who do, like, I don't, I'm not going home with them and watching what they're dealing with. So
yeah.
I got to ask.
Right. Right. And I think the important thing that you just mentioned was the idea of listening, because as you're talking about the physician, I remember I worked in IT for 40 years and I was in a training class on listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the type, I worked on a computer at least 8 hours a day.
Wow.
And people would come in and sit behind me and they'd either want to talk about work or talking about personal stuff. And I would keep working, acting like I'm listening to them.
Oh, man.
And it was after that class that I realized that I've got to stop what I'm doing and turn and actually look at them. Because I think it was my friend Father McKay that talks about it, that so much of communication, it's not the words you use, right? It's the posture or the nonverbal
mm-hmm.
will relay more than what they're actually saying, because people will tell you just about anything, right?
It's true, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even more so now with our phones, it's so easy to just stay absorbed in that. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and even with, you know, you're texting somebody, it can be the most innocent of things, but the person on the other end doesn't always know the attitude or the context of what you're putting. And I've had people blow up over something that's not,
yeah.
you know, all that important, but it's just mm-hmm. because we don't always understand what's going on or, you know, why we choose the words that we've chosen.
Yeah.
So believe it or not, we're already at the bottom of the hour.
Uh-huh.
So we have reached the bottom of the hour, and we are going to take a short break. Just a reminder that our guest today is Terry Love. She's a licensed therapist with Integrity Counseling Services, and we're talking about all sorts of topics dealing with why people would need counseling and maybe some of the results they may get from it. Again, I'll give out the phone numbers. If you have any questions for Terry, you can reach us at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I love being here on Wednesday afternoons doing these kinds of shows. I've been at it now, I think it's 13, coming up on 14 years in March, and only through Kathleen McCarthy seeing something in me when she had interviewed me a couple of times. Back in the 2008-2009 time frame, and we never know where, you know, God's going to lead us, and if we're open and willing to do those things. And you know, our guest today is Terry Love. She's a professional counselor with Integrity Counseling Services. They have a website at integritycounselingpa.com. They're a local outfit here in King of Prussia, and they handle all types of cases and issues that you may have that require counseling. She lists as her specialties as including anxiety, depression, life transitions, parenting, adoption, grief, and trauma. And I would imagine that when you're working with people, one of the first things that they need to be is honest, open, and willing to change. Do you see a lot of people that come that they say they want counseling, but they're still holding on to whatever it is that got them there? Like they want help, but they don't want to give up certain things?
Maybe more like they might not be aware of every issue that's at work behind whatever problem brought them in. But most of the time, if they've made it in the door of a counseling office, they're pretty invested. It mm-hmm. takes a lot of courage, I think, to reach out and to, you know, seek help. That's humility.
Right.
So if they've gotten through the door, I do have, you know, a lot of times couples come and only one part of the couple wants to really be there.
Right.
That doesn't go well usually. Or parents want to bring their child in or their adolescent, and sometimes it's the kid talking the parent into getting therapy, like, hey, I want to go, and the parent will back them up. But if it's the other way around, it also doesn't go well. So
yeah. So I guess do you screen for that ahead of time, or is it you really got to wait until they come in before you can really find out what's going on? Right.
A little bit of both. Yes.
Okay.
We try to screen. And again, like, they're probably not going to pay for the session if they're not, you know, have some level of buy-in. But I actually can't think of an example of somebody who gets there and they're like, you know what? Well, but I do have people who come once and then don't return.
I don't know. I was one of those guys. I remember early on in my own recovery and hearing all these people talking about it. So in 12-step parlance, they'll call it outside help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go get outside help because we've got some issue that might be deeper than can be handled. And I went, and in that session, the gentleman, he was a nice enough guy, but basically when I left, I was saying he wants me to do a fourth and fifth step, but pay him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing it in the rooms, and I think I've been okay ever since, but some other people may not agree, but that's okay. I would imagine the amount of change that you see in people, it can be anywhere from a little to really big changes in their life.
Yeah, that's the best part, of course, right? Other than the instilling hope or helping hope grow, helping them hold on to hope.
Yeah. And it's funny because I had somebody yesterday text me a thing on hope, and I was going to talk about it in the 4 o'clock hour, and I didn't get to it. But that's really what our Catholic faith is all about, right?
Oh my goodness.
Is hope, mm-hmm. You know, because God knows life isn't easy. Mm-hmm. And if we do have that faith or an idea of what is headed, you know, coming our way when we finally leave this planet, there's really not a reason to not have hope. But life has a way of throwing us a lot of things that can take that away.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there, so you've been in the practice a relatively short time. So mm-hmm. They ask you what are the main things that, are there things that have popped up more recently than, perhaps in years past? And what really drives me crazy is the political thing. And mm-hmm. how much division there is, mm-hmm. When it comes to the world of politics, and Satan has done a wonderful job of dividing us along those lines. Do you see a lot of that in your practice?
I do. I'm trying to think. I don't think it's typically like the presenting problem, but it's very frequently a side issue, and the anxiety or the anger related to, you know, disagreements with family members or frustration with the culture, like how can this even happen? Shortly after Charlie Kirk's assassination, several clients mentioned that is very, very difficult and troubling. And so those are examples of when that, yeah, definitely true.
Yeah, no, and I could see that. I had a couple of friends that really had an impact on them. And I don't, like, I was trying to put my finger on it, and a lot of times I think we can just say, oh, well, you know, stuff like that happens. Mm-hmm. But there's other people that, especially if he was somebody that was important in their life, that, you know, why does God allow that to happen, or why him? And I learned a long time ago, whenever I would say, why me, now it's, you know, why not me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody struggles, right?
It's true.
Nobody
yes.
gets out alive.
No. Yeah, good. That yeah. should be on the wall of the counseling office.
You got any openings?
I do. Come on over.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. No, but in all seriousness, it's crazy today the number of people that are just walking around without any hope, or can let things like the news or the news of Charlie Kirk's assassination play such a have such a deep impact mm-hmm. on them. And I don't know if that's something you can talk about, but somebody that's perhaps as an example, do you have to dig deeper to find out why it is that something like that impacted them? And is there like a hurt from long before that may have brought something, or it could be anything?
It could be connected to something that feels oddly familiar, but they're not sure why. Like, why is this so upsetting to me? Why am I so frustrated by this public figure? Why are you feeling that so deeply? Like, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what's behind that. Who does this remind you of? Is there someone in your personal life that this is just reminiscent of, and that's why it's so bothersome, or what?
Mm.
What principle, what unresolved, you know, issue or need is there? All those things. There's, gosh, endless things. I tell my clients all the time, we will never run out of things to talk about. I can come up with questions at any time. I will never run out of questions. So, yeah, there's good things to explore in those cases.
Yeah. That's your job, right? They ask
yeah,
questions.
It is. One of my supervisors, she once said, she goes, I just ask good questions. That's my job.
Like, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
When all else fails, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah.
How can I help this person think more about this? Or
So you mentioned Bob Newhart being your influence. So people still lie on a sofa when they come to see you?
You know,
or whatever it is?
That has happened one time. I had a young adult client come in, and she was extremely anxious. And I said, let's sit on the floor. Like, it was so weird. I've never suggested that before. Mm-hmm. But it's ground, like that's a grounding technique, like putting yourself, like just calm down, like let's hold on to something kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She calmed down right away. And then the next week she came in, she goes, can I lay on the couch? I'm like, yeah, sure. She took her shoes off. She was, that was her personality. So it worked with her. But most people, they, it's funny to watch. You were talking about body language earlier. People will come in and sometimes they just sit on the edge of the couch. They don't even want to sit back. I can tell, like,
yeah,
I'm watching, you know, their body language, their breathing, everything.
It's planning their escape route.
Yeah. They stay close to the door and edge of the couch.
It's, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. And again, to go back to the Catholic angle, to be able then to be able to talk about that stuff openly. So are most of the clients that come to you, they know that up front that you're a Catholic counseling?
Yes. One thing that Dr. Kloponas has arranged in our practice is for anybody who calls to have the option to have a 15-minute consult free of charge so they can get acquainted with our practice.
Okay.
They'll go through him and then he'll recommend one of us if needed, and then they can have another 15-minute consult with whatever therapist they're considering. So that helps, and I always ask, how'd you hear about our practice? And that'll I don't usually just say, hey, are you Catholic? Sometimes, depending on the personality.
Right, right.
But, yeah, and it's very rare, but there have been a few, like, well, I just Googled therapists in King of Prussia, and you came up, and I'm like, all right, well, you should know.
So. You're probably more at the top of the list when somebody types in Catholic therapist, right?
Yes, absolutely, right.
And is that a majority of the folks that are getting it? They're looking for somebody that'll able to incorporate that. And I've got to imagine that. Well, we've already said it a few times that the huge difference that that makes when all this, so not all the pressure's on you.
It's right? true. Yeah. I tell them, and it's true. I pray for all of them, and it's a good question. Pretty early on, once I find out why they're here and what their problem is, what their goals are, pretty quickly I need to hear, what are your relationships like, including with God? Like, tell me about that. So it's very revealing.
So you mentioned that you have 6 therapists and 1 spiritual director.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourself at some point with, I would imagine with maybe clients that you see for a longer period, that you yourself actually get into spiritual direction to some degree?
Yes, and I asked Dr. Kloponas recently, like, how do we know, like, when I'm bringing scripture up and when I'm recommending adoration and we're starting to talk about core sins and things like that, there's definitely an overlap there.